After these messages, we'll be right back.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
Good. Fine.
Are you in good hands?
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome to After These Messages, where we bring you hot takes on commercial breaks. That's right, we are here to talk about TV commercials. Good ones, bad ones, and ones where people say weird shit like this.
I'd much rather put my head in an elephant's mouth than build a website.
My name is Andrew Walsh, and I'm here with Genevieve Haz. Hello, Vives.
Hi, Andrew.
Coming up today on the show, call us the dentalists. I'm really trying to work on a show title before we even get the show off the ground today, V.
Can we just focus on the task at hand?
No, we're trying. I'm in a hurry. Time is money.
Time
things
is
to
money.
Do.
Yeah.
I have a real dental block.
Oh, my God.
Onto what to name. We're talking about dentists
in commercials.
We're talking about
dentists, but not, as is my want, mm-hmm. when we talk about a setting like a dentist's office, I'm not super interested in commercials for dental care or,
no.
you know, dental care adjacent things like toothbrushes and toothpaste and gums that are good for your teeth. I mean, I'm interested in the dentist and the dentist's office as a setting, as a metaphor, as an indicator for some other idea or emotion. So
yeah.
we're looking at commercials where the dentist or the dentist's office is used in that way.
I think it's a great idea, and you were inspired by a new Geico commercial that you were telling me about and that we had to hunt down online that we'll get into in just a second. Also, we'll check in with the Ad Council as usual. Genevieve, somebody got.
Someone got.
Yeah, our new segment, You Got Me.
Did they get released?
Where a commercial actually works on somebody and they say, you know what? I got to try this thing based on this commercial. So
great.
We'll share that story from a listener. Also, a listener sent in a very fun take on the Goldilocks and Three Bears story. You're
mm-hmm.
familiar?
I'm familiar.
There's a Three Bears.
Yes.
They leave for the day. Goldilocks comes in.
Yeah. There's a home invader who...
She's quite rude.
She's quite entitled, and she breaks up a lot of their shit.
Yeah, what does she do? She eats a bunch of their food. Like,
eats
some
their
of their
food,
porridge is too hot, some
sits
too cold.
On, like, breaks their... I feel like there's some breaking of some property, some personal property.
Yeah, I think so, because, like, when she gets on the beds, one of the beds is too soft, one of them is too stiff. Maybe she breaks the baby bear's bed. I don't recall exactly.
I remember as a kid thinking it was a weird fairy tale because it was a little unclear who to root for.
Yeah, like, what is the... Usually you're not rooting for bears.
Right.
But on the other hand, like, they're just doing their own thing. And she... I remember being a kid and being like, oh, Goldilocks is obnoxious,
yeah.
right? Like, that's not a hidden takeaway. That's not a mature takeaway. That's just
the point of the story, right?
Yeah, it's not the subtext. What movie? It's a Whit Stillman movie, right? I loved those movies when I was in college, and it's just like a bunch of like smarty pants sitting around talking, and one of them's like, you know, everybody always talks about the subtext. They never talk about like what's above the subtext. There isn't even a name for it. And somebody just says, it's the text. But let's kick things off, if you'll allow it, by going dental.
Be a dentist. You have a talent for causing pain.
Hey!
So be a dentist. People will pay you to be inhumane.
Never seen Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors. Actually, now I say that, I'm not sure. But until earlier today, you were not clear that there is a movie called Little Shop of Horrors and also a movie called The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I pulled this song and I labeled it in my show sheet. I labeled it in the actual MP3 file as dentist, parenthetically, Rocky Horror Picture Show. And then you had to tell. And I told you, I was listening to it. I'm like, you know, I've never seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show, but I can tell. Like, I like Steve Martin, but I can just tell from this song I would not like.
You'd be really disappointed
Rocky Horror.
In Rocky
said,
Horror because it doesn't even have Steve Martin
in it.
And then
you said, what does that have to do with anything? This is from Little Shop of Horror, or maybe Horrors. And then I had to stop and think for a moment, how many times in my life have I conflated those two? Because I've never seen either. I don't think either are for me. I know, like... I mean, Rocky Horror is beloved. It's almost a...
it's a unique flavor.
It's a
I
unique
mean, I
flavor,
love it.
But I mean, for so many people, it's almost like a what is the word I'm looking for? I'm struggling today.
It's the definition of a cult classic.
Yeah,
if there is
absolutely
a more culty movie than Rocky Horror, I can't imagine.
And it's almost like a rite of passage I'm looking for.
And you never did that as a teenager.
No, exactly.
In a certain way, I'm almost surprised because I did. Like, I had some friends who were a little older, a little more like, they were very like theatery, and so that would like very, you know, a dress up musical, you know, thing like that really appealed to them. And I enjoyed it just because it was like kind of fun to be, it was like transgressive, and it was like made to for transgression. But I am a little shocked that you never did it, because you actually like hung out with some like goths, some actual factual goths.
Yeah, it's true.
My and friends also, were like, just like theater nerds.
And I could have gotten, I'm sure that I was probably like one idea away, like somebody in my friend group's idea away from going to a midnight showing at some point. But
I'm just shocked it
never
came up.
Into musicals and stuff like that anyway. But I mean, there were definitely things I was doing in high school that I probably wouldn't, you know,
I don't think you could
today.
Have tolerated the ritual of mm-hmm. being a virgin and going and you're supposed to stand up and, you know, and it's very much like you will be kind of forced into being in the center, being center stage if you haven't ever been before.
Not for me. I get nervous at magic shows in case they might ask me to volunteer.
Maybe if you'd had that experience as a 15-year-old like I did, you'd be like in a show like I am.
Okay. You think that
it's called aversion therapy.
The thing that fundamentally defines me, being somewhat reserved, shy, embarrassed easily,
right,
all of that would have changed with one showing of Rocky Horror Picture Show, or maybe even Little Shop of Horrors.
I guess we'll never know.
I guess we'll never know. Build a time machine. Kill Hitler. Get me in the seat. All right. Let's start off. Okay. You build a time machine. Your first priority is to go back
I
and
see.
Kill Hitler. The
I
next
thought you
priority
wanted to be
is
in
get
Hitler's
my
seat.
No.
I thought you wanted to be the chairman of the Reich.
No, my apologies. I was trying to rush through that. You build a time machine.
Sure.
Your number one priority
one,
cannot
build
be
a time machine.
Number
two, kill Hitler.
Kill Hitler.
Dot, dot,
number
dot,
three,
profit.
Number three, get my ass in the seat of a midnight showing of Rocky Horror.
Sure, right. Okay.
That's the priorities. Okay, but for now, let's move forward in time and talk about this Geico commercial that you told me about. You want to set this up? It's brand new.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if I've ever seen it on live on television, but I've seen it certainly in social media, which more and more, it's just like, it's really hard outside of a few like very homemade influencer style Instagram or TikTok ads. It's really hard to tell what things were made for, like what platform they were made for anymore. Anyway, this is a funny premise, and it's actually kind of the dentist piece of it is almost totally irrelevant, but it's about a guy whose name is Guy, whose name is actually Guy Co-agent, but he keeps being mistaken for a Geico agent.
It's a good joke.
Which is a great joke.
It's
right up my alley, too. I love it. So he's just sort of, you know, like an average looking guy.
For some reason, it starts with him, you know, kind of explaining his situation in life. But weirdly, he looks like he's in a break room at an office somewhere. That doesn't look like his kitchen, does it?
It could be his kitchen.
Oh, okay. Maybe
it's
his
kitchen. It's either
his kitchen
or a...
No, I'm gonna throw a red flag there. Vives, look over his left shoulder. You're looking at a much smaller screen, so let me enhance here. But you see there's like a whole bunch of paper cups and sugar packets.
Oh, that would
this
be quite a
communal
lot.
Space.
That would be quite a lot of home coffee
yeah,
setup.
Yeah, this is giving... It's got a like some sort of a bulletin board in the background with like work notices on it. So.
All right. So he's in his office, break room, or kitchen, and he's explaining that he is a guy named Guy Co-agent, often mistaken for a Geico agent. And so he had these little business cards made up that clarify it, which is lucky because then he finds himself in the dentist chair, unable to speak. That's a kind of a big, that's a leitmotif, I would say, of this type of setting for commercials is like having the stuff in your mouth or hands in your mouth where you can't make yourself understood. So then he just hands it over to the dentist.
Yeah, I got a little close up on the card here. It says, "Hi, my name is Guy Co-agent. I am not a Geico agent. Sorry." And it says, "Sorry," in very, very small print. I like the fact that like you only need this card like there's no need for this card except for they're going to set this in the dentist's office. Anything else, he could just be going around town and saying, no, I'm not a Geico agent.
I think that's the purpose. That's the reason for the dentist setting is to put, they were like, they just needed something where he couldn't speak clearly.
Right. So anyway, so it starts with him, a little break room, explaining
to us what's
going
on. A funeral would be another good one. You can't,
like a concert hall, but then why would anybody mistake him for a Geico agent during a recital
my friends have been going to a silent book club lately. That might be another place.
Silent retreat.
Yep. Oh, I have another friend who's doing that, like a silent retreat for like however many days where you don't talk. And I and this is a friend of mine who definitely like is a talker. And I was like, are you worried? She's like, yes, I'm worried.
Aaron Rodgers?
It's Aaron Rodgers.
Didn't he go to a silent retreat or he was going to live underground for a while, take a bunch of ayahuasca?
I mean, I don't know that about Aaron Rodgers, but it doesn't surprise me that he would. Not that I don't think he would ever do that, but it sounds like something he would say he would do.
He said he was going to do it for 3 weeks and then made a big deal about it. And then it just like he started it and then we never got any updates. Like he never really finished
it. Yeah, I bet he lasted 12 hours.
And this was between his Green Bay. This was like last offseason between his Green Bay ending and his Jets beginning, and it's only relevant because I hate him and he's just such a bad person. And this was around the time that he was really starting to spin into this like just like Rogan-esque character. Here I was typing in, sorry, I was trying to type in NFL
like
star Aaron Rodgers.
Toxically
crushed. Oh, it was a darkness retreat. That's what it was. NFL star Aaron Rodgers went to a darkness retreat to contemplate his future. What is that and how does it work, according to CNN Mindfulness?
People like him and Joe Rogan and a lot of these people, a lot of them are MAGA adjacent, but what defines them as less any kind of like adherence to Trump or MAGA-ness, whatever that, however you define it, it's more like a kind of a toxic contrarianism.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. It's just, you said it perfectly. Okay. Guy, co-agent, is in the office in the break room. He's talking to us. He's setting up the scenario, and then it's going to flash to a dentist's office.
People keep confusing me with their local Guy co-agent, so I made these cards. Because while my name is Guy co-agent, I'm not a Guy co-agent.
So, I hear you're a local Geico agent.
No, I'm a car.
Honestly, I'd love to pick your brain about bundling.
I love a car.
Bummer.
We're not playing
close.
Get a quote from your actual local Geico agent for your insurance needs.
I love how what an asshole his dentist turned out to be.
Yeah, so then the doctor just gives him like a kind of a bad job, right? He's leaving the dental office like holding his cheek.
I mean, from start to finish, he's a bad dentist. First of all, it's incredibly unprofessional to try to use your patient's time with you in the dentist chair to like get free insurance advice.
Sure.
Secondly, to then be rude about it and then also provide shoddy service because they weren't a person you were trying to like hit up for free insurance advice is just really terrible. I hope he reported that dentist to the ADA or whatever.
The American Dental Association.
You got it.
Gotcha. Not the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Or that.
Do you remember, and by the way, quick warning, this is going nowhere and it's not related to anything you said, but speaking of dentists, I was thinking of unprofessional dentists. Steve Martin plays a dentist in two films. One is not Rocky Horror, as you were about to say, The Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
The other was that one that must have come out in the somewhat early 2000s, around the time you and I were first dating. We went to the movies. I can see you nodding. You probably already have it dialed up. Steve Martin, Laura Dern.
Yeah.
There is, and also the gothy lady, right? Tim Burton's partner,
Helena Bonham Carter.
I'm sorry to define her by her relationship. And there was like some pilfering, I believe, was a kind of a key role
Somebody was drug seeking. Yes.
Was it just called The Dentist?
I think it was called Novocaine.
Novocaine. I remember really enjoying that movie, but I've never gone back to.
I've seen it. I've rewatched it.
To hold up.
I think so. I mean, it's a very kind of dark comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think, very intentionally cast. The casting of Steve Martin is very intentional, given his famous turn as the sadistic dentist in Little Shop of Horrors.
What did you say earlier? It was so, and you didn't give me any kind of credit for pointing this out. You were so unintentionally funny before, and I don't mean that as an insult, but when you were describing...
So far, this I don't like any part of the wind-up here.
You were being a real witch about it. No, you were kind of teasing me for not realizing that Rocky Horror and...
Little Shop
are different, which that's totally mockable, obviously. I'm the fool there. But it was funny in your description because you have a famously good vocabulary, and I'm going to mess this up, but you're like... Because I was like, well, they're very kind of similar. And you're like, no, other than the fact that they're like kind of from the same era and they're both musicals that have both dark comedy and body horror, they're not really alike at all. And I'm like, that is a very specific kind of movie.
Yes, I said there are some, they have some themes, some overlapping, I don't even know if they rise to the themes, but like tones. Tonally, they have some overlap. Again, like a kind of a dark comedy, elements of body horror, sort of psychosexual.
Yeah, the sexual aspect of this. Sexual you listed aspect. Three things. But then, it's like, oh,
but,
wow.
But those are things that could describe a lot of things. They are just, and then when you, if you know anything about the plot or the, like the style, like stylistically, they're incredibly different. Mm. Like, you know, like it's also true of like, you know, was it Sweeney Todd, the one about the barber
that is a musical. Where's my bell? So that is a musical.
Who did cannibalism?
Is it sexual?
Probably
not as much so. Body really, horror.
I mean, eating people's gross.
You gonna stand by that?
I think so.
Yeah, eating people's gross.
I stand by
there's
that.
There's your pull quote from the episode. I think there's something going on with me today where I don't want to talk about commercials.
I guess not.
Which is a real problem given my role.
Well, let's talk about this next one,
yes,
which is another Geico commercial. Like, it's like, you know, there's, again, Geico has so many commercials. We say this all the time that if you pick any theme, they're almost bound to have something that fits the theme. And more than likely, they'll have a couple that fit the theme just by sheer volume. So we have a guy here. He's out on his boat having a day of fishing, you know, like a real nice kind of like day off from work. And he's very relaxed. And like, what would be the least relaxing thing to happen to if you're out on your boat fishing? It would be like suddenly your dental, you know, care intrudes on you. But he's sitting in his boat and a guy in a white coat, clearly his dentist, jets up on a jet ski with some news.
Hey!
Dentist Dan?
I got your x-rays back! You're gonna need a lot of fillings!
How many are we talking?
Well, how many teeth do you have?
Everything's better on a boat with Geico Boat Insurance, especially when you have 24/7 access to expert claim service and towing support.
You are a wild man! I'm a mess!
Geico Boat, expert coverage.
It took me a second to understand what the joke was because when he's telling him, like, you're going to have cavities on all of your or you're going to have fillings on all of your teeth. And I couldn't quite tell what the boater's reaction was. He covers his face, I realized he's elated. He's just elated. He's in such a good mood.
Yeah, because his boat insurance is so good.
That even the fact that he's going to get fillings in all of his chompers.
And that his dentist like took the time to jet ski out there while this guy was enjoying his day off to give him this terrifying news.
Yeah, the dentist is happy though. That's good work.
Yeah, I mean, this is something I always find interesting. Is like, so dentist is just, I mean, Steve Martin is the perfect example, right? Like the Little Shop of Horrors character it's played for like the extreme version of the joke that is constant, which is that dentistry and dentists are associated with a certain amount of sadism and that the idea of being in the dentist chair is just fundamental. I mean, there is like, that's like a lot of people do experience like a legit kind of feeling of body horror about that, which is very weird to me because ophthalmologists don't get that kind of rap. And yet eyeballs is like way worse for a lot of people, like thinking about like a poke in the eyeball.
Yeah, but the actual process of going into an eye doctor, first of all, it's not universal. I mean, if you have good eyesight, you're probably not getting yearly eye exams.
I guess that's true. Everybody, you know, who has health care pretty much goes.
It's
if you have
recommended
dental care,
for twice a year. Yeah. There's always going to be like at least scrape in, you know, if not drill in and any other kind of more invasive thing. There, even the scraping can be invasive and uncomfortable.
Best case scenario, unless you're some kind of like dental wizard with your hygiene, is you're going to get some unpleasant scraping. Right.
Exactly. And everybody does it at least once a year. Yeah, I mean,
I don't care for that puff of air in my eyeballs to test.
I don't care for that either, but I don't think it's quite as universal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I see what you're saying.
So now I'm very excited because I think this next commercial has, you said, oh, Dennis Quaid is in one. Famous A-list actor Dennis Quaid is in one of these commercials. And I said, oh, do they make a dentist Quaid joke? And sadly, the answer was not yes.
I feel like they really missed an opportunity here. This is another insurance commercial. And it's kind of along those same, this theme that we kind of see recurring here, which is that however bad, like something is so, product is so good that it is a counterweight to being at the dentist.
Okay.
So he just walks in fully. He looks good. I mean, he's like, you know, this is probably Dennis Quaid of about, what would you say, 15, 20 years ago?
I'll be honest, I haven't seen it yet.
I think he's probably 15 years old. He looks good. You know, he's a older man, but still pretty foxy.
For what it's worth, according to iSpot, this was published on July 1st, 2019.
Oh,
which would
so
be 5
then
years
he looks
ago.
Really
but
good.
I don't know that that's literally a timestamp of when it aired.
These
but
run for a long
time.
It gets
you kind of close, yeah.
Well, anyway, whatever it was, he looks good. He comes into this dental office, you know, exam room, and just kind of stands over the shoulder of the professional. I don't know if it's the dentist or the hygienist who's like working in the mouth. And just like starts doing his pitch.
I'm a little distracted here, and I'll play it in a second. I'm just obviously very distracted today in general, but iSpot will sometimes identify the actors in a commercial, and you can click on them and see what other commercials they've been in. And they're very, and I use this knowingly, spotty about the service they provide, because sometimes it'll be like a super famous person and they don't list anybody. Yeah. You know, it's, I think it has to do with who submitted it or whatever.
Yeah.
In this case, it does list two actors. One is Dennis Quaid, who will be obvious, and then the other person is Richard Pierre Lewis, who is a patient in the waiting area. Now, this is only a 15-second commercial, so I imagine that is a small role that goes by very quickly. But when I click on the name Richard Pierre Lewis, this is somebody who apparently has just done a zillion commercials.
Oh, yeah,
I wonder if we will start to identify him. Sometimes I like it. Didn't we do this before where we took an actor like this and we just built a whole show around them? Like, this person is just in every commercial.
I think her name was Molly something.
Yeah, right. And she was a delight.
And we found a bunch of ads with her because we just liked her performance in one of the ads that we started talking about.
You keep an eye on this space. I might need to do some more learning about Richard Pierre Lewis. But in the meantime, it looks like this commercial is going to go by pretty quickly.
Let's be honest. You only talk about your insurance when you complain about it. Good point. That's why eSurance is making the whole experience surprisingly painless, so you never have to talk about it unless you're their spokesperson. eSurance. It's surprisingly painless.
I will give you credit. For one thing, we have this ongoing debate about whether or not Dennis Quaid is an A-list actor.
Does an A-list actor seem like someone who does that ad?
Not only does that ad, but there's a joke in it. He's kind of walking around like kind of quickly with this sort of energy. He's actually, you know, in the, not operating room, whatever, standing over the dental chair. Then he walks out to the waiting area. But as he walks out to the waiting area, he grabs a fistful of free toothbrushes and puts them in the inside pocket.
Yeah, it's a good,
it's a pretty good joke.
But I don't
think
George Clooney's doing that.
It is kind of a, I guess I'm Dennis Quaid and I need these free toothbrushes.
He needs a bunch of free toothbrushes. He's never going to need to buy another toothbrush after this.
No, that is true. They pay him. Unfortunately, they paid him in toothbrushes.
he was happy to take it.
And he was happy to take it. All right. What is this next? I'm worried about this next one. It looks like it's for some sort of like a app game.
It is for an app game. Good. Okay. Good eye. This is kind of a, I don't know if it's a little shouty, but we have a guy who is apparently a dentist. He's in a white coat and he's like staring into a patient's mouth in the dentist chair. and he's talking about how too much candy is not good for your teeth, and then quickly segues to talking about how this game, which seems like a downmarket Candy Crush,
yes,
called Best
okay.
Fiends,
okay.
Is like, you can have all the candy you want, but then he gets interrupted by somebody else. Best
Fiends! We all love candy, but too much candy is too much. That's why many people choose Best Fiends. It's their new crush. You can link and solve challenging puzzles, collect creatures that help you win, and...
Why are you wearing my coat?
I'm doing a candy awareness campaign.
But you're not even a real doctor.
Huh? And I'm not talking about real candy.
Meet your new crush.
So it seems to be a real dentist who comes in saying, why are you wearing my coat? Am I cutting off the tail end here?
I don't think
else?
There's anything very good.
So in other words, the patient who's in the chair is very shocked to hear that it wasn't a real dentist who was
operating. That would be upsetting.
On him, and it's this nerdy guy. Boy, so...
Coming after Candy Crush.
I kind of missed what they were going for in the setup, but of course it makes it very clear. They're saying, you've had too much Candy Crush, mm-hmm. and so how about you try this candy-free game that also crushes? Interesting, going right after them.
Yeah, and it looks basically like an even more irritating version of Candy Crush.
You know what I haven't played in a while?
I never played Candy Crush.
What do you call... I have it on my phone. I'll play it sometimes on an airplane randomly, like once a year or something. But what... I said an app game. They're not called app games. What are they? Are they called mobile games? There's a very specific name for that kind of, like, you know, I guess mobile game.
Sure.
And I don't... It's weird. Like, I'll go forever not having any interest in playing one, but then you just find yourself in some situation. I think for me sometimes it's usually a situation where there's like some waiting around, that's obvious, but also there might be a stress component for me because
you don't want to read like the New York Times
yes,
cover story or whatever,
because I'm wondering if this is a you got me, because I wonder if I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw an ad for it. Like, so many of these games look alike. I mean, people who dip their toe in this world at all are probably familiar with some game where it looks like you have to solve a bunch of puzzles to save this king who's
right.
constantly running away
from
a flood of water.
If you move this lever, the lava will fall
exactly.
down.
Exactly. And there's like three or four kind of stereotypes of that kind of game. And one of them is sorting. And
I play the water sort game.
Oh, water sort. That's right. It's like a bunch of vials, and you got to match up all the color.
It's a real zone out. Yeah.
And when our cat was quite sick several months ago, was it probably not 6 months ago quite yet?
Not yet,
but it was
no.
a while back, and you and I were quite worried. Like, it was just like
it was only we went to Mexico in March, and it was right before that. So
you're right. So it's only been a couple of months, and I was just like laying in bed, and I had I could have just doom scrolled on Instagram or read the paper or whatever, but I found myself downloading this game called Goods Sort, which is such a bad name. It's not even a good, it's just like, because you're sorting goods. I'm holding my phone up right now.
It's like a shelf with where you just like I've yes. seen the ads for that. Yeah, it looks really boring.
Yeah, it. But I love sorting things, honestly.
That's true.
So I kind of like. I actually was bummed.
It's just meditative. It's not a skill game at all.
No, I mean, well, sort of, but it's a skill game in that everything speeds up and becomes harder and harder and harder with each level, which kind of bummed me out. Like, has anybody made any of these games where they're sticky but they don't keep on getting harder? Because I didn't want a challenge. I wanted to just keep sorting, but then it was like, oh, we're adding more and more things to sort and things are moving faster, and it got more and more complicated. And it's just so funny how I played that, it felt like pretty intensely for a couple of weeks after I downloaded it, and now I'm just remembering it now. You know, it served its purpose. It bridged me through some troubled times.
Yeah, I think, you know, our brains do need weird things sometimes.
Yeah, well, okay. Speaking of weird things, what's this next commercial? God, I hope it's weird. That would be such a good transition.
Well, it is for something called a Purolator metal end cap, which...
This is a good commercial. This is... I did watch this when you threw it in the show sheet before, and I thought this is like, tell me if I'm wrong, but this sort of seems like your quintessential idea of using the trope of dentistry to advertise for something that is so far afield from dentistry.
Yeah, and it's very similar to a lot of ads where they say, you wouldn't tolerate XYZ in this context, and we see this a lot with cell phone plans, like, you wouldn't allow yourself to go to a coffee shop where they sell you a bunch of like a contract for coffee. Mm-hmm. Like, why can't we buy cell phone plans like coffee? And this is kind of like that. It's this. So as I learned, a Purolator metal end cap is some sort of filter that your car needs.
Okay.
or it's a brand of some kind of filter that your car needs. But we open in a dentist's office where someone is in the dentist chair and he's about to get an x-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And the hygienist or whoever's doing the x-ray is pretty dismissive. She's sort of rude to begin with. And then before she leaves the room, which they always have to do for the x-rays, instead of putting the lead apron on him, she puts just like a piece of cardboard over his chest and is like, okay.
That's clearly a box that had shipped something. Yeah, it's like not it's even a, like good. It's just like it has like a fragile sticker on there right. And it's not cut evenly.
It's a real fuck you.
I thought it was really effective because I'm watching this and everything with her, with the exception of her being a little bit dismissive that you can pick up on. Like you're pretty much like, oh, this is a straight up dental scene until like this one moment where she's like, okay, here. And she just puts a cardboard box on top of his chest.
How's your dog doing?
Good.
What's his name again?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Now, let's get you covered up.
Here comes the cardboard.
Not to move.
You wouldn't protect yourself with cardboard. Some oil filters protect your engine with it. Dumb. Purolator uses metal end caps for better engine protection.
Oh,
so keep it pure with Purolator.
So it's like the little end cap that's inside the oil filter.
Yes.
That's interesting.
And I don't know if it really makes any difference at all if you have a metal end cap. It might be like it's toasted. Like it's just
the
thing
like
that they
that's so cool.
That they do
yeah.
that's different. That they're like, okay, this is our differentiator. Like I'd love to know from somebody who knows about cars, like, is there any reason why a metal end cap on a fuel or what is it, an oil filter?
Mm-hmm.
Like why would that make a difference?
That's really interesting. I actually kind of love that little insight because I wonder if this airs specifically during shows that I'm sure it airs if not like during NASCAR or something else that is sort of geared towards gearheads.
All right, this next one is for Honda and it's pretty old. I kind of had to go digging for this one because I was like, I felt like there must have been commercials in the 80s and 90s where a dentist's office was the setting. And actually very few. I actually think that just broadly speaking, commercial makers have gotten more creative about using things like a dentist office as a metaphor or an indicator of something. There's a lot of like, you know, Colgate commercials in a dentist's office, but that's about it.
Sure, yeah.
This is from Honda, but I think it's so bizarre. Like I always think it's bizarre when a brand presents its ambassador, whoever is their ambassador in the commercial, whether it's a user of the product or a salesperson of the product, as being just like a total asshole or a total like or clueless. It's the same thing that I have a problem with that Daniel Levy. Commercial like it's home. I think homes.com.
Yeah. That we heard during the Super Bowl. Or
yeah.
Saw
which
during the Super Bowl,
they're pushing super hard. Like they're really running that series of ads a lot.
Have they made any new ones?
I mean, I feel like I've maybe seen some extended versions of the ones that we've seen, like where they go to hair salons and it continues to baffle me that they think this is like a good image for their brand. But
they're
anyway,
so confusing and just off-putting.
I digress. But this is another one where I'm like, Honda, what makes you think that I would want to do business with you after this? We open in a dentist's office, you know, very similar to a lot of these. Guy in a chair, somebody working on his mouth. And then a guy in a blue shirt kind of wheels himself in, you know, like on one of those wheelie chairs that they sit on. And he's got a face shield over him, as you should do at a dentist's office. And he starts talking about if this is a good time to talk about buying a Honda.
What's that?
Oh, Dale. It's okay. I sell Hondas. Is this a good time or a bad time?
Oh, well,
great. Because right now, during Honda's helpful dealer days, you can get 2.9% APR financing on most Hondas.
He's really in this guy's face.
Yes.
Like I pictured him sort of like kind of wheeling in him from across the room. No, he's hovering over him. And, you know, well, here, I'll finish the commercial.
You can get 2.9% APR financing on most Hondas.
That
is low.
What's this do?
Oh!
Ooh. Good thing we're all wearing masks, huh?
Whoa, at the end, we don't see what happens. We're just seeing pictures of cars or minivans.
But something kind of horrifying.
He says, what does this do? And the guy kind of yelps, and he says, good thing we're all wearing masks.
It's horrifying, right?
It almost implies blood splatter,
could
I
be
think.
Blood, could be, you know, spit. Either
urine.
Way, I mean, it's there's no good scenario.
No. Wow. That's really rough. You're right. Like, that makes
you... Honda. Did Toyota make that ad?
It really does make Honda, the Honda salesperson, seem like the complete villain. It makes the dentist seem like the good guy in comparison.
Yeah, right.
I was going to say, it is interesting. Maybe I should have mentioned this at the top of the show. I didn't have the thought then, though. But, like, yeah, you think of the dental chair trope as being painful, like you said before, the Steve Martin, like, kind of aspect of sadistic is the word I was searching for there. But, of course, the secondary trope, or even maybe hand in hand, is the trope of the dentist is always talking to you when you can't talk back. And this one had a little bit of both of those things. But mostly this was just the I can't talk. The dentist, again, I think it's a woman, right? She's not the villain at all in this. She's just doing her job.
Yeah, I mean, she's almost just a bystander. But yeah, she's not doing anything that's like that sets off alarm bells.
No, not at all.
All right, this next one made me laugh out loud. I said, FedEx, you got me. Not in the sense that I'm going to use FedEx, although I suppose I do use FedEx. But
do you?
I don't have any occasion to use FedEx. I'm not a business person.
Do you have any preference between FedEx or UPS?
I just go to whichever, if I have to use, like, the only reason I have to use FedEx or UPS is typically, like, I'm returning something, you know, via Amazon or something, and they'll send me a code, and, you know, I just take that code to whoever they tell me to go to.
Yeah, it's up to whoever you're dealing
with. If I, for some reason, have to choose, because I'm myself deciding to mail something, I just go to whoever's closest. I think there's.
I think the one around here is a UPS. I do think the only time we've lived in this house that I did not successfully get a package that I later got from a neighbor down the street who apparently has the same number address as ours, but like a block or two away, ended up bringing my package to me, and they were my beloved round ice trays, Genevieve, which are very rare, and I had to buy these off of eBay or something because I think they stopped making them, and I got the notification it's arrived, and it was UPS, and I was like. It did not arrive, and this was no way a, like, somebody stole it off my porch situation, because I was working outside when I got the notification. Like, I would have seen the person. We don't have a grand estate here. I was, like, so mad. And then...
And was UPS preparing to make good?
I don't think I initiated a complaint yet. I was just sort of steaming thinking about it in my head.
If I get something like that and I know that it has not been delivered... I've actually made a complaint when I later found out it had been delivered and it was just in the mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like it is like I will set a land speed record to file a complaint and file for my refund.
Well, I believe this company used UPS to send it, and ever since then, UPS has left a bad taste in my mouth. But
it only takes one, right?
Aside from that, I don't think I really have a preference between the two. But if there were two stores right next to each other, FedEx and UPS, I think I'd gravitate towards the FedEx.
Yeah, I think their branding is just a little bit stronger.
They used to have those really funny commercials,
very funny
UPS's
ads.
Commercials are always like serious business to business to business. You must business to business.
Yeah, and like, what can Brown do for you? And
A lot.
And I know, right? That's like such a bad slogan. Do they not know?
But FedEx had like the Micro Machines fast talking guy for a while, I think. They had like various like sort of funny, almost Sports Center style, like office commercials.
A lot of good. FedEx really did an amazing run in like the 90s of like funny office setting commercials where like people are just like some kind of hilarious setting. So it's like skit plays out in an office because of FedEx. This is very funny too. This is actually at a guy's home. We see that a dentist is working on somebody, but he's on his own front porch while doing it.
Okay.
And then his FedEx delivery arrives.
Oh, hi. Working from home today, so I don't miss a package.
You know, with FedEx Delivery Manager, you can now view your residential deliveries and request delivery to a FedEx office or to your office in case you need to be at work.
That's a great idea.
You can even request a delivery time and date that works for you. It's better than trying to be in two places at once.
Introducing FedEx Delivery Manager.
So there's a couple of pauses in there, and when you hear the pauses, it's kind of a close-up on the patient who, as usual, mouth is pried way open. There's cotton in there. eyes are wide, like not liking this situation at all. So there's kind of like there's this moment where they close in, kind of close up on that. But then at the very end, when Genevieve laughed, there's kind of a pause in the conversation. Then we see the dentist is about to like kind of hose out the guy's mouth, but he's holding a garden hose.
Yeah, instead of
and
like
he sort
an
of
actual
shoots a
like
stream really quickly. Yeah.
Dentist, you know, hose.
That's or, well done.
I thought it was good. Yeah.
Yeah, well done. Well, good performances all around. We're kind of coming to the end of your list here. We have a couple more. What is this one?
This is for a local Chevrolet dealership. And it's again, it's that idea that we talked a little bit about with Honda, or I'm sorry, with Purolator, where it's like you wouldn't tolerate this kind of behavior in another setting. So why would you tolerate it from a car sales, a car dealership?
Okay.
So you have a guy sitting in the dentist chair. It looks like the dentist and I presume the hygienist are doing a lot of upselling of him and like very fast talking him through some upsells. So they're going to go.
Honestly, in this day and age, like this is the healthcare system.
It is. And honestly, I have been to a dentist. I've been to some.
In this day and age.
I know. But I've switched dentists a lot in my adult life because when we moved to LA, we lived, not like the fanciest area of LA. And I found a dentist who took my insurance like very nearby. And I just kind of didn't occur to me that like, I just, until that point, I was sort of like a dentist is a dentist. Mm-hmm. And then I went to this dentist's office in Koreatown that was like just really chaotic and really like very bad dental service. And all they wanted to do was tell me that I had sleep apnea. I don't. So that they could sell me some sleep apnea contraption that dentist was like a, you know, an investor in or a quote inventor of. And I mean, it was like the waiting room was just crowded and like a TV was blaring the whole time. And I was just like, you know, I really felt
Beetlejuice there.
It was like the waiting room and Beetlejuice, yeah.
Was there a football team?
There was
that had
a
just
dead
been
football
in a
team
in a bus
and
crash.
And a girl who has been sawed in half. it was just like it felt really chaotic and dishonest and fraudulent, and I couldn't get out of there fast enough. And after that, I have to say, I will only go to the dentist in the suburbs.
Huh.
And I had that experience again in Seattle.
You came back here.
Yeah, when I came back. So my dentist that I really liked in the suburbs stopped accepting my insurance. That sucked. And so I had to find
it. They just found out you were from the city.
I probably did.
They're like, are you from North
Aurora? In a way, that's what they did tell me, which is that they are only taking patients who can pay out of pocket or have super fancy dental insurance. So they recommended somebody who was a dentist that was like more close to my work. And it wasn't as chaotic and bad as it was in LA, but it did feel rushed and a little bit like I just didn't have a good experience there. So I just will switch dentists now. If I don't like one thing about them, I'm like, find a new dentist.
I go to the dentist at Costco.
I would go to the dentist.
I know.
Costco,
I was making a joke, and as I was saying,
I don't think
that,
they
I was
have
like,
that.
You would do that. People do get their eyes examined.
Yeah,
at
I would.
Costco.
I would totally get my eyes examined.
I actually love my dentist, and I will shout them out. This was a dentist I used to go to during our first stint in Seattle, and I liked them so much. I must have talked about them on my actual radio show, I think, because I remember going in there one time, and someone was like, "You're on the radio. We got somebody in here because you were mentioning it." And then I think I was even like, well, maybe we could like do some sales or something. And then I moved away to LA. And then as soon as you told me like, hey, I got this job, we're moving back. And, you know, we'd been talking about it. You didn't spring it on me one morning. But
I got this job. We're moving back.
But like I was like, my very first call was to my old dentist and say, I'm moving back. Make me an appointment because I haven't found a dentist down here.
Did you not go to the dentist the whole time we were in LA?
And I think I was there about 2.5 years.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's terrible.
But my dentist is called Simply Dental here in Seattle.
You love
down
them.
On like in the Denny Dexter area there.
Yeah, that's too
really
urban
like
for me, but you seem to
oh,
like
wow.
It.
So you're really in, speaking of Goldilocks, like you're...
I told you, I will
oh, that's
not,
right. You only
I won't
go to
a city dentist.
Oh, right. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so in this case, we have a dentist. She's looking at this guy. His mouth is pried open. And so this is the upselling one.
Yeah,
the
dentist and the hygienist are going to kind of quickly rattle off some things, and it might be a little bit hard to hear, but... Basically, your takeaway should be that they're kind of like baiting and switching on some services.
We know you came in to just get a cleaning, but I think what you really wanted was to upgrade to a whole new set.
So we're out of ivory. Platinum or gold?
What?
I'll get the platinum ready.
We don't normally use this much Novocaine, but this will make it hurt a whole lot less.
You wouldn't put up with this at the dentist.
Oh.
Don't put up with it when you buy a car.
So come on over to Roger's Dab Chevrolet.
It's easier here.
Roger's Dabs.
Roger's okay. Dabs Chevrolet.
When I first saw this, I thought it was Roger Dabs, and I thought that was the name of the commercial, and it was going to involve dabbing.
I misspelled it. It is Rogers and Dabs.
Rogers and Dabs. Not bad for a local commercial.
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah, pretty good. All right, and now we have, I think, maybe one more.
No, we got two more.
We have two more. Okay,
both of these.
Oh, this is for the...
If I'd known I was short on time, I would have skipped Best Fiends Candy Awareness Campaign.
You're not short on time at all. This is the Rima 1000, which is, I think, 500 better than a Rima 500.
I did have to look up what is a Rima 1000? I'll spare you the suspense because it doesn't really matter for the commercial. Okay. It is a Norwegian like discount grocery chain.
Oh, okay.
And you know me, I love me a discount grocery chain.
A discount grocery chain with a number in there, 1000. I mean, it sounds like it's a device, right? Well, you need the Rima 1000.
You need the Rima 1000. But I don't know how they do things in Norway. They name their grocery stores weird things.
Hot springs, everything's weird over there.
So this ad, I originally found it and I thought it was funny, but a lot of it was in, I guess, Norwegian. And I was like, oh, I can't, like, even though it's translated, like, it's and it's funny, I don't want to, like, get into a whole big translation thing. But then I saw that they had actually made a fully English version of it. I don't think for American or British audiences. I think just for, like, maybe because it's funny, or maybe there's a lot of English speakers in Norway. I don't know. But the premise here, and it's like it goes on. You would never know, even if you watched the whole thing, if you didn't know what Rima 1000 is, you wouldn't know what it was for. But the premise is a guy wakes up. He's in a beautiful but, like, extremely modern, like, all glass and, you know, cement, you know, concrete house, extremely modern styling. And the whole house is a smart house. So everywhere he goes, he just uses, like, his voice commands to do everything. Open the door, turn on the music, put on the fire, like an indoor fireplace. So, like, everything you're hearing, he's, like, directing the house to do. And then he leaves the house and goes to the dentist. And as sometimes happens, and this happened to me once, he got so shot full of, like, numbing agent that he lost his ability to articulate
to
his smart house.
Plain jazz.
Plain jazz.
Smoothie.
Making smoothie.
Calendar.
No meetings today. Remember, dentist at 9:30.
Fire off.
Fire off.
Open door.
Door open.
I've seen this, I think.
And we're going to do one more.
So now he's in the dentist chair and he's getting all the Novocaine injected.
Open door.
Wrong voice command.
Open door.
Wrong voice command.
Open. Open door.
Repeat that.
Open door.
I didn't understand that.
Hey, open door.
Play on the floor.
I've seen this.
He's standing out in the rain, just trying to get into his house. And then he sees his neighbor. And she just walks straight to her house, which opens with a regular old key. And then we see Simplicity is King, Rima 1000, only low prices.
Simplicity is King.
You don't need a fancy, expensive grocery store. You need a simple discount grocery chain.
At the end of this commercial, he's back in his fancy home, and I think he's trying to talk to the fireplace.
Higher.
Higher volume.
He just keeps on turning the volume up on that club song. That's a fun commercial. Yeah, I think that I think for some reason that's the type of commercial that pops up when I'm looking for other things. It must have been pretty popular. And so, like,
I think that maybe why they made an English version, because it did kind of go viral.
It's a good bit.
It
seems like it's weird for a grocery store.
It does seem weird.
I love everything about it. But I feel like it should be advertising a product that is going back. I mean, they're trying to do that and saying simplicity is king, only lower prices. But I feel like it would serve itself better if it was like advertising a device.
Yeah.
That is a simple device.
As I said, you would never know if you don't know what Rema 1000 is, you would never know what that commercial is for. So it is it has that feel of like the way certain European ads just go viral because they're just intrinsically like a funny story.
Yeah. All right, we have one more here.
Yes. This one is for a product called Cast, which I think is like some kind of software product that uses that is advertising itself as like proprietary software versus open source. And we all do know, like, we've all heard of like things that weren't great because the open source can be a little bit buggy. Open source code can be a little bit buggy. So here we have a woman, she's in the dentist chair, and the dentist has created an app with his phone that he is trying to use to do all sort of like the diagnostics of her dental exam. And he basically has put it on his phone and he's like basically jamming this phone in her mouth to do all of its things, but he's used a very buggy open source code.
All right, let's take a look at that cavity. Say ah.
Ah. Welcome to your dentistry diagnosis app.
I made this app myself. I'm a bit of a tinkerer.
Ah, can't see.
Oh. Ah, good enough.
So my cavity is actually just in the back. Nope.
Don't worry about it. I've got it. Open wide.
Ah. Sticking his whole phone in her mouth.
Counting 32 teeth. One.
If you've ever seen A Christmas Story, the movie A Christmas Story, and I think it's Ralphie who gets his mouth washed out with soap.
Yeah.
This is very reminiscent of that, only it's a cell phone instead of a big bar of soap.
Counting 32 teeth, one filling.
It's impressive, isn't it?
I have two fillings, not one.
Oh, it's close enough.
89 teeth, 115 Oops. Teeth, hexagon mouth shape, breath, excellent.
Should have downloaded that patch. Let's see. Oh, there we go. All right, open wide.
Insert barcode.
Ah.
Patient 52% likely to have cavity. Proceed with drill.
Ha.
Wait, what about an x-ray?
Oh no, not worth the cost. Open source is free. Besides, this is good enough.
This is scaring me.
I think I would just leave at that point.
Yeah.
All the difference. When it comes to your business software, don't improvise. Trust the standard.
So, we're going to see you next week?
Next week?
Yeah. I'm installing the new Molar plugin.
Lady, advocate for yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's the one thing I don't like. I think that's a funny ad, and I like some of the lines like 82 teeth, hexagon mouth shape. I think that's all funny. But seeing a man basically shove an object in a woman's mouth while she's sort of incapacitated is, let's say, potentially triggering.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, I mean, there's all kinds of connotations there, but in all seriousness, also with just like
women in healthcare.
Women in healthcare, yeah. Which is a very sensitive topic, I think.
It is hard to advocate for yourself in healthcare.
Really,
I mean, like, it's so funny. I was talking about leaving my dentist and how I'm like, you know, I'll leave a dentist at the drop of a hat. But I really kind of agonized over leaving my most recent dentist. And I even like kind of didn't tell them why. I was like, oh, it's just geography, whatever. I might have even said this on the show before, but like, why didn't I just say like, I didn't really care for some things about my service here. Like, nobody goes to jail if I say that.
No. I love a good exit interview.
Do you?
If I'm leaving
somewhere. You love a stomp out.
I love to stomp out. If I didn't like the service or something, I mean, that makes it sound personal. Like, I'm not going to try to throw a person under the bus or something like that at a grocery store if it's somebody who's making minimum wage or something. I'm like, you didn't treat me with enough respect. Like,
right.
I don't want to portray myself in that way. But generally speaking, especially for something really important like healthcare or something, and if I'm going to change providers or something, I'm going to let people know.
Yeah.
Remember when this was, again, a couple of months ago, I booked an appointment at it's not new to the world, but it was new to me, a medical facility that's sort of in our neighborhood. And I called and I made an appointment to get my eyes checked.
Yeah.
And I waited, I think, a month or a month and a half for my appointment. I was dying to get my new prescription. I go in and I do all, you know, they check me in. I go through all this and then I'm waiting in the waiting room. I'm realizing like, this is not a dental office. This is just like a general practitioner.
I hope it wasn't a dental office.
What's that?
You said it wasn't a dental
office.
Oh,
no, I'm sorry. This was an optometrist office. And then I'm like, I look up.
It'd be crazy
then,
if it was dental.
Yeah.
if you were that far off.
Then I'm like looking at, and then I'm like, I start Googling who I thought was the eye doctor I was supposed to see. And I see that she's just, you know, like a family doctor. And I'm just like, and then a nurse comes out to call me and I'm like, excuse me, I think there's been a mistake. I made an eye appointment. She's like, no, this isn't an eye doctor.
Still blows my mind that this happened to
you. So I wrote a Yelp review. Was it a Yelp review or a Google review or something? I was just like this. And I read a bunch of other reviews first. And it was like a bunch of people saying, these people don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
The incompetence at this place is ridiculous. And I talked about it on
it's
my other podcast.
It's astounding that happened.
I don't think I told you this. A friend of ours, Genevieve, who you know well, also texted me. I didn't say the name of the establishment, and she texted me and she says, is this the place? I'm like, yeah. She's like, I am working now to extricate myself from this place. Like, I could tell from the way you described it that was
what?
The dysfunction.
Tell me who it is
and
beep
desk.
It out.
I'll tell you after the show. Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. This is not the friend I'm talking about, but I meant to tell you that last commercial, the woman in the chair, reminded me a little bit of our friend and my former colleague, Anna Scott.
Oh, I can see that,
KCRW
yeah.
Fame. All right, that was unnecessary, but I needed to get it off my chest. I really like these commercials that were sent in by a listener, Laura, in Baltimore, who says, I was out at lunch and I saw one of these Redfin Goldilocks commercials. I thought it was a pretty good premise and a nice use of the fairy tale in commercials. Has that been a theme yet? I know that the Peter Pan Geico commercial with the charming child actor was discussed. Laura, OG listener here, your obsession over the kid who played Peter Pan in that Geico commercial goes back to like episode 2, I think. You said you'd never forget his name.
I think it's like Thomas.
Yes.
Is it?
You're so close, I think.
Barbosca?
I think you might have nailed it. Didn't you say he's the patron saint of the show?
He is the patron saint of the show.
I wonder
Barbosca.
What he's been in lately. Oh, then, yeah, he...
Barbosca,
there he is, Barbosca. And
well, one thing he's been in that I love is Chad.
He's also in Chad.
Yeah, he's cool guy. He's the cool guy that Chad. He's the guy who of whom Chad says, "Well, he said he would retweet my." What did he say? He said he'd
follow me on. He said he'd mention me on Instagram.
So I guess you could say it was the best conversation of my life.
Yes, I think I have that right here.
How'd it go?
Well, he's going to acknowledge me on Instagram, so I guess you could say it was one of the best conversations of my entire life.
Such a good drop. This is the only other tape I have from that show.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything, but I kind of feel like you're winging this and it's going bad.
Chad is...
But wasn't he also in the show that... The Caitlin Olsen show. The Mick. He was in The Mick.
He was also in The Mick.
Two TV shows that you like.
Yes. I think he's incredibly talented.
Well, he's not in this commercial. I really like, as Laura says, the premise for this campaign. And it's from two different perspectives. It's for Redfin. And the first one is called The Three Bears. And also, Genevieve, well, I don't want to distract you from the commercial. I'm already patting myself on the back. I think I noticed something about this commercial that might whiz on by other people. I want to use my superpower, but let's just focus on the text.
So I should listen to the voiceover.
Let's focus on the text.
You already
distracted
me.
Then we'll work on the subtext. Don't worry about the voices for now.
But what's
I'll play it again.
The subtext?
But what's above? Why does nobody ever talk about what's above the subtext? I really like the way this is done. We see just a nice suburban home, and it says the Three Bears residence. And it's sort of like, I think that people compare things to Wes Anderson too much. I don't think these commercials have a Wes Anderson feel, but the font definitely does. And when you see how Goldilocks is sort of stylized as very sort of hipster and twee, and Goldilocks is not a like a little girl in this. She's like a woman probably in her, I'm going to say maybe late 20s, early 30s. She's, why do you ask?
Out of curiosity.
I wasn't sure if I was missing a joke there, like foxes and bears or something.
No. I just like to know if a lady I'm going to look at is going to be hot.
I'll let you decide. I think that she's an attractive woman who, again, is dressed kind of in a very, like, kind of twee little sweater over a collared shirt or whatever. But this focuses not on her so much as the three bears experience, and mm-hmm. it's almost testimonial. And we'll see the three of them, the mama, the papa, and the baby, all like kind of talking to the camera. And the mom and dad are both, it labels them with this chyron, and it says, Redfin user, and the baby is future Redfin user. And basically, they're complaining about this woman being all up in their residence.
Well, she's not the easiest person to please. Right, mama?
She needs things to be just right.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, we do love her.
That's my mug, isn't it?
But she needs a place of her own, and fast.
Thankfully, she's on Redfin. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes.
That means every 2 minutes, there's a chance we'll be back to having our porridge in peace.
Oh, wow. This one's just right.
Is she leaving?
Yes.
Oh, it's happening. It is happening.
Now, that woman actually looks a little familiar to me. Is it somebody that I should know from one of our shows?
I don't recognize her from anything. I mean, she's like you said.
She's a type, I think.
She's a type, but I don't recognize her.
Okay. I can't remember. Oh, well, you know what? Well, this is very weird. She reminds me of somebody in a TV show that is the voice that I think I recognize in here. I think that she's in his TV show. Okay, I'm doing some really bad podcasting here.
No kidding.
Let me reset for a moment. We're going to listen to this again. The Papa Bear's voice at the beginning doesn't sound the way I remembered it, but about halfway through, he starts to sound a lot like Bill Hader to me.
Well, she's not the easiest person to please. Right, Mama?
She needs things to be just right.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, we do love her.
That's my mug, isn't it?
But she needs a place of her own.
Doesn't that sound a lot like him? No?
It didn't jump out to me. I thought I was going to recognize the mama's voice.
Listen to him some more. Bill Hader. Just picture Bill Hader. Picture Barry.
And fast.
Thankfully, she's on Redfin. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes.
That part especially sounds so much like Bill Hader to me. Listen
again. I'll be shocked if it's Bill Hader.
Listen again.
Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes.
That means every 2 minutes, there's a chance we'll be back to having our porridge in peace.
Oh, wow. This one's just right.
Is she leaving?
Yes.
And I do agree she looks like the female lead in Barry.
And now, okay, so sorry my brain got really tangled there a couple of minutes ago. But yeah, so I had Bill Hader on the brain, but then I got wild because I realized the woman that she reminds me of is the woman in Barry, which Bill Hader is in.
Now, Sarah Goldberg.
Are you Googling Bill Hader Redfin right now? Is everybody doing that at home?
Everyone do it at home. I just looked up to see who played Sally Reed.
When you type in Bill Hader Redfin, you get a whole bunch of Redfin listings, I guess for places for sale in Bill Town and Hatersville. I think I'm going to get some emails from Hatersville.
I was going to say, I feel like we're rapidly transitioning to Hatersville as we draw this out.
Let's see here. Bill Hader TV commercials. I'm not getting any
hits
on Redfin.
Dude.
Why would you hire somebody so famous just to bury his voice? If you will. All right. But here's what I think is really cool. So I think that might have been the one that Laura saw in the wild. Mm-hmm. But then when she sent us the link, she's like, here's another one in the same campaign. What I like about it is this is like basically the same exact premise, the same exact house, only we're hearing everything from Goldilocks.
I guess I'm not the easiest person to please. I like things just right. That's why I love Redfin. They show me homes that are perfect for me. Not too big, not too small.
Yeah.
It's like they know me. I mean, the bears love having me here. We're like family. You wanna know what sucks? But it's time for me to spread my wings and find a place of my own. Ooh, this one's just right. I know Baby Bear will miss me.
baby bears in the background shaking his head. I should also note all the different ways that she is annoying this family while we're hearing her voice over. Like when she says, you know what sucks, that's her coming into the room. Clearly, mom and papa are having a little date night at home. They have a candlelit dinner. She comes on, turns on the kitchen light.
Yeah, she's just like the most inconsiderate house guest.
Yeah, exactly. And not even a guest. Just a reminder that she was not a guest.
Right.
That's a B&E, right?
Yeah, although I think it's an interesting sort of take on that story, which is that she's like just someone who's overstayed her welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the, which, did we do a whole show on that?
On people who've overstayed their
welcome? I feel like we did.
We did guests that were stressing people out or like unwanted house guests. Yeah,
I guess so. All right, we have a voicemail here from a listener.
Hey, Andrew Genevieve, this is Ben Cohen from St. Louis. There's another Verizon ad that's airing. I think they've probably tagged this regionally, so I don't know if you would catch this, if you're not in the Midwest. But they have one where they're saying, if you're St. Louis, we know that we need to welcome people by making them family. Okay, I kind of buy it, whatever. But then they end the segment saying, and that's what it means to be Midwest nice. And that just really grinds my gears, because the phrase is Minnesota nice.
Strong agree.
Family Minnesota. It's a very specific part of the region that behaves in this manner. They completely lose me when they say Midwest nice. It makes no sense. Verizon is now on its air not only to ruin the careers of beloved comedians, but even piss us off on the very nature of their own campaigns. Besides, Minnesota nice is not necessarily a positive thing that you want associated with itself. It's being like, oh, passive aggressive, like the equivalent of sort of bless your heart in the South. It makes no sense. Just needed to rant about it to somebody. I could find the ad. It's probably running. I'd be interested to know what they're plugging in for the other regions that they're probably inevitably using this for. Just a Verizon ad. It makes no sense whatsoever. I can't believe that they didn't just like Google it, give it half a second. Like, they probably started this in Minnesota and then just completely ran out of ideas. Anyway, Midwest nice is not a thing. Just watch Fargo season 4 and notice that none of the accents are the same as the rest of the Fargos. Anyway, love the show. Bye.
Okay, I got a lot to say about this, but I'm going to start with an observation that I just made. Now, I know this is not the same person. I know it's not Bill Hader. I know that this is Ben.
Yeah.
Who's calling in. But when he gets so frustrated in that voicemail during his little rant, his little rant at there, he reminded me of the kid who gets frazzled in Dazed and Confused.
Look, I got a confession to make.
What do you mean a confession?
Look, you know, for like the last year or so, I've been talking about going to law school so I can be an ACLU lawyer and be in a position to help people who are getting f***ed over and all that. Well, I was standing in line at the post office yesterday, you know, and I'm looking around, and everybody's looking really pathetic. You know what I mean? I mean, like, people are, like, a drool, just sort of stay back, and then, like, this guy's bending over. You can
see. Are you hearing it a little bit, like, sort of, like, and just, like, so frazzled, he can't even, like, kind of, like, I'm just so frustrated by the situation.
Yeah, I can hear it, like, sort of, in the way he's frazzled. The accent is nothing like Adam Goldberg. Goldberg has a very specific accent.
Oh, that's Adam Goldberg, right. Yeah. Anyway, that was totally unnecessary on my part. I just wanted to throw it out there, and I'm having attention issues today. Here's the other thing I want to say, though. I feel Ben's frustration to a degree, but here's the problem. And I want to side with Ben, by the way. Ben is a listener to our show. I want to side with him. And
I
see
quickly
that
say
you...
that I 100% side with Ben, and that I was anticipating all of his points, and I strongly agree with all of them.
But here's the problem. And I'm not saying that things haven't shifted, generally speaking, that maybe at one time was just Minnesota nice, but I had to do it. I typed in Midwest or Midwestern nice, and there's tons of references. You can get t-shirts that say Midwestern nice.
Yeah, guess what? You can find people who say irregardless, but that doesn't make it a word.
But we talk about this a lot. Like, at this point in culture, I mean, everything evolves. Language evolves. Like, there's no doubt about that. The language we're using today is an evolution of language that was used a long time ago. Like, we understand the idea of things. Whether or not it's right, I feel like Ben's rant might be right on. Certainly the point about it not being a positive.
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
But right now, like it or not, Midwest nice is something that is in the culture, because if you go online and you type it in, there's a million references to Midwest
Nights. Okay, I will just challenge you on this, because the internet is such a large place that if you do a search for almost anything, you can find a million references to it, but you have to seed it within the context of how many more references to Minnesota Nice are there. And it's probably, I would say it's 100 to 1. Minnesota Nice is the real thing. That's the phrase. And I'm not surprised that it's been sort of, you know, a little bit bastardized or you know, reconfigured a little bit to be Midwest Nice. Obviously, the Minnesota is in the Midwest. But the phrase is Minnesota Nice. I think that Verizon? I think that Verizon switched it to Midwest Nice to try to cast a bigger net. Or something. And as Ben notes, they don't even understand how they're using it because it doesn't mean what they think it means.
No, that's definitely, I'm not arguing that. And also, when you type in Midwest Nice, when you finally get to a Wikipedia page, it defaults to, when you type in Midwestern Nice, it defaults to a Minnesota Nice. So I agree that that's where it came from, and it got bastardized at some point. I'm saying we can't lay it on the feet of, at the feet of Verizon, because, I mean, again, you say you can find anything online. I'm not talking about weird corners of the internet. I have in front of me right now Mayo Clinic Health System. Good for you, good for others, practicing the kindness behind Midwestern Nice, which I, again, think is kind of missing.
So your example of a mainstream news source is the Mayo Health Clinic news?
Thrillist. Midwestern Nice, a tribute to a sincere and suffocating way of life. The Economist, is there any truth to the idea of, quote, Midwestern Nice? The Daily Trojan, which I check in on every day. I miss the Midwest Nice that I grew up with. Now, I don't know what the hell the Daily Trojan is. The Economist isn't a U.S.
Like the
publication. Thrillist is a mainstream, but, you know, internet age publication. But, you know, some of these go back to the earliest I see here is Thrillist was 2015. The Mayo Clinic thing, I don't know the year on that. But I didn't work hard to disprove this, because generally speaking, I agree with you and Ben, especially about the use of it and what it actually means and missing the boat on that. But I don't think that all of the ire should be placed at the feet of Verizon. They, at this point, it is something in the culture that they're picking up on.
But do you agree that Minnesota Nice is the preferred term? It's the more well-known version of that phrase.
Well, I'm almost even wondering if, like, it means the same thing. I mean, if you're using them synonymously, maybe that's a mistake too. Although it seems like there's just a lot of confusion around this.
Mayo Health Clinic seems to think it's like, it is a positive. Hey, maybe we're all wrong. And Midwest Nice is like a separate thing. It's a second thing that's not Minnesota
good.
Nice. That's actually nice.
I mean, I think what we're learning is there's just a lot of bozos out there, and Verizon's might be of them.
Today was not my first time learning that there's a lot of bozos out there.
Mayo Clinic writes, in the Midwest, and particularly Minnesota, many people have a distinctive way of communicating and relating to others that has earned the region a reputation around the globe for being welcoming and helpful. And it's like, that is not my understanding of the definition
the
of
Mayo
Minnesota.
The Mayo Health Clinic news is a terrible source.
You're saying that I need to start going elsewhere.
Stop
for
taking
my daily news.
Delivery of the Mayo Health Clinic news.
I saw a whole bunch of Reddit threads posted a couple of years ago. Is Midwestern Nice a real phenomenon here? Is Midwest Niceness real? What are your favorite examples of Midwest Nice? Like, it's a thing now. Like it or not, I don't think that Verizon needs to take all the slings and arrows on this.
Ben, I'm with you. Andrew's not your friend.
I just want to see, Ben, I am your friend. Ben, I love you more. I just want to see if we
can. Ben, you can have Christmas with me.
I get Flag Day and Arbor Day. I just want to see, because I've already kind of ruined the show many times today, let me just finish my thought on this. I want to see how Wikipedia defines it. Minnesota Nice is a cultural stereotype applied to the behavior of people from Minnesota, implying residents are unusually courteous, reserved, and mild-mannered compared to people from other states and more akin to their Canadian neighbors in Northern Ontario. The phrase also implies polite friendliness, an aversion to open confrontation, and a tendency towards understatement. But it doesn't...
This is the last sentence is the most germane. It is sometimes associated with passive aggression.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, there's some version of that, I think, in Seattle a little bit, too. Like, a lot of people
who
will be...
Oh, my God. This is the most passive aggressive place I've ever
lived. Yeah, and I don't know if that's tied into what they call the Seattle freeze here, but the idea of just like, yeah, we should definitely hang out, and then you never hang out with that person because you just forget the conversation ever happened.
This is a, like, Seattle and Washington, like, the Puget Sound, whatever our region is, I do think is a conflict-averse culture, mm-hmm. and I don't know if it stems from our, you know, the prevalence of Scandinavian roots here, which also is something we have in common with the Upper Midwest.
Yeah.
So not a coincidence.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear about some advertisements that really got our listeners in a segment we like to call You Got Me. Okay, unfortunately, I don't have an actual commercial to go along with this one, although I dug something up that might be somewhat relevant. But let's start with this voicemail that we received from, I believe this was Matt in Tacoma. Tell me if I'm right about that, Matt.
You are right.
Hey, this is Matt in Tacoma. Hey. They got me. I think I'm somebody who almost is never enticed by any kind of ads. And I just ignore them. On the rare occasions they look interesting, I think I beat the algorithm. I'm like, okay, I saw it on Instagram, but I'm going to go over to Google and look it up, as if they don't share information probably, right? Anyway, they finally got me on one a while back. I think the company is UAH Pet. It's a wireless cat water fountain, and it's like higher up so the cat doesn't have to bend over far. And what it does is either got a motion detector thing, or you can set it on every 15 minutes. It pumps some new water from the reservoir into there. And it's wireless, woo-wee. And so you recharge it. The thing holds a charge really good. We got one. It's a little pricey, but it seems to be durable. It lasted a while. The cats seemed to drink out of it, so we wound up getting a second one because we have too many cats. And the one thing we can't solve for is the cat that likes to drop his toy mice into the water. But other than that, like I said, it holds a charge, and the cat seems to like it. So that's the one thing they got me on, is the UAH Pet wireless water fountain. I am not paid or compensated for this message.
You know, that's a phenomenon we've been having, not with the water. We have a water fountain for one of our cats. Ours is more of a, like, it actually has more of an, kind of an arc.
Well, and it plugs in, which,
and
actually,
plugs in, yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that, because when we lived in our previous apartment, I was looking for a wireless pet water fountain, and I couldn't find one that I was confident in, because I wanted to put it in a place where we didn't have a plug.
Oh, right. Yes.
So we ended up just getting one that has a cord that plugs in downstairs.
I've been looking at videos of this. It doesn't kind of create like the drinking fountain arc that I think ours does, or at least not the videos that I've been seeing.
But they just need running water.
But yeah, but I also just like the idea that your cat is putting its toys in the water, like not in our fountain, but we also leave out some water bowls for the cats, and our cat Bingo has been obsessed with these very specific kind of hair ties, these little like rubber band hair ties that you have. Well, that you had, then you relinquished them all to him, and now you're just buying him hair ties.
I just bought like a pack of 100 of them that he'll hopefully never run out. And he carries them around, he plays fetch with them. They're the perfect little thing that's light enough and shaped so that he can carry it in his little feline mouth.
And usually he'll bring them over to us and drop it at our feet and say, you know, I want to play fetch. And he literally plays fetch. You pick it up, you throw it, he brings it back to you. If you ignore him, he'll just like look up at you and like headbutt your chin or your shin until you throw it again. Then he started dropping it in my shoe. If I was ignoring him, he'd put it in my shoe.
Yep.
And then when we left on vacation, we were gone for like a solid week, I think. Our friends who were watching our cats were like, so is this a new thing or what? And every day he was just taking that little rubber band and dropping it into the water dish.
Yeah.
And like in both water dishes, upstairs and downstairs. And we had never seen that behavior before. And now that we're back home for a while now, that's all he basically does with them.
Yeah, and I caught him doing it the other day. It was so funny.
Yep, he picks it up and he just trots right on over. Then he drops it in the water dish and he just stares at it a long time. He's like, what is that doing in there?
I don't know what his...
He doesn't try to fish it out, really.
He doesn't fish it out. I can't see him putting his paw directly into water. That would be pretty weird. But it's some kind of attention-getting behavior.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, we'll have no idea exactly which ad Matt saw. You know, clearly he saw it in probably like an Instagram, it sounded like, or something like that. And so the best I could do is I just went to UAH Pet. What a weird name, UAH Pet. I went to their TikTok, and almost all of the little commercials and everything for them are just, you know, music with sped up montages of people setting this up or whatever. But I found this one, and again, I don't know if this is actually something that would auto populate into somebody's feed, because actually I thought it was funny. It actually uses foul language. So apparently this is, we're just seeing a picture of a cat, but apparently we're doing voiceover for the cat.
Your human wants to be lazy and not wait on you 24/7. This wireless water fountain definitely will. At least my mom spared me a couple minutes to help me get this shit set up. Let's go test out just how wireless it really is. I told my mom to put it near my toy so that when I'm playing, I can take a break, jab that shit, and then get right back to it, baby.
You kind of can't tell what he says there, but he says, chug that shit and then get right back to it, baby.
That, like, is such a millennial.
It's like really leading into the foul language. Like I say, won't somebody please think of the children?
My toy so that when I'm playing, I can take a break, jab that shit, and then get right back to it, baby. The battery lasts for 4 months. I also spent a lot of time outside, so I told her to try it out there, too. This thing detects when I'm in front of it, so I can always have fresh water when I'm sitting outside, enjoying my view, watching the birds.
So there you go. I don't know if that's the one that got you, Matt, but that's the one I was able to find that I thought.
Matt, I really hope it was. Yeah. I really hope that was the one.
You can sell anything. You can sell anything.
How do we do, Genevieve? How was that show? Was it good?
I think it was pretty good.
Okay, good. I feel like I really did my best to ruin it at times.
Well, you know, it was a loose one.
It was a loose one. If you guys want to tighten things up around here, give our voicemail line a call, 607.
Yeah. Stop making us do all the talking. Yeah, actually, call something in.
We had some great voicemails and feedback today. I love that ad council segment. Thank you, everybody, for joining the fun. Call us at 607-444-5597. That's 607-444-5597. Or record a little voice memo and email it to us after these messages show at gmail.com. You can also check us out at the Facebook group. Just look for After These Messages Podcast on Facebook. Good?
Good.
Let us know if anything got you recently or in the past. We'd love to feature you on the next segment of You Got Me. We'll talk to you guys next Tuesday. You can sell.